Please join me in prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yes, you said it, and I didn't have to coax you anymore. Thank you for coming to worship on this day of joy. I'm so glad to see so many of you here today. We had a wonderful sunrise service. I got up at 5 a.m. to get here. That's very unusual for me, I'll have you know. It's a little breezy and cool today, but the light was beautiful. The birds were singing, and we joined in nature to rejoice in the miracle and gift of life. Easter is a time to celebrate the promise of new life and God's victory over the forces of sin and evil in this world. Today we celebrate that God brings life out of death and turns the world upside down. The first become the last, and the last are the first. The proud and the mighty are brought down, and the humble servants are raised up. Alleluia. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. But Easter is not possible without the story of suffering and death. We can't forget how people conspired against Jesus and that he was betrayed by one of his own disciples. We can't forget that he was arrested and put on trial by people who had no interest in justice or truth. He was tortured and felt abandoned by God. Easter does not erase the fact that Jesus died a horrible death at a young age. And many people, live today, live with these realities on earth: betrayal, injustice, violence, and ultimately death. In Christ, God joins in our suffering and brings us hope. Some of you come here today with suffering hearts. We've had two real tragedies in our church this year, and many of you are grieving the loss of loved ones. And I think also of the families who grieve in Korea after the ferry accident last week. It's hard to imagine living with the uncertainty of not knowing whether your children are dead or alive. I read a comment by a pastor a few years ago who talked about her experience of Easter after her 16-year-old daughter died of cancer. She found hope and comfort in the message of the empty tomb. She wrote, "We're so wrapped up in the life of this world that we forget the amazing life ahead of us, which we will be in the very presence of God. That is the Easter message, the hope of being with God beyond this life on earth." But the pastor still felt an emptiness in her daughter's loss, saying, "I understand emptiness better now than ever before, and I'm not sure that emptiness is so much filled by the resurrection as understood." She pointed out that after the resurrection, the tomb was still empty. Jesus did not come back and fill up the empty space or resume his life as before. But he did offer the disciples new life, and their lives changed dramatically. They discovered a new kind of power within them: God's power to love, God's power to heal, God's power to change the world. And that is also the story of the resurrection. It's not just about what happens to people after they die. Yes, we can look forward to getting beyond the limits of our earthly bodies and finally experiencing the fullness of God, and we can trust our loved ones to God's care. But the resurrection is also about what can happen here and now, as we open ourselves to God's Spirit in this life. There may always be an empty space in our lives, but that's not all there is. God brings new life to us here I think of the children of Uganda who stayed with our church members for a week this winter as they performed in the area. Many of these children have lost at least one parent to AIDS. Some of them have no adult relatives left at all. They have every reason to be depressed and sad. Yet they also found an amazing joy in life that shines through them. They've experienced another reality beyond pain and death. They know God's love and are now using their talents to glorify God, and this brings them great joy. God has given them new life. Karen read from Paul's letter to the Colossians this morning. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, not the things that are on this earth. Does this mean that we're to set our minds on heaven and forget about this earthly life? That's not how Jesus lived. When Jesus walked this earth, he healed the sick, he fed the hungry, he wept when his friend Lazarus died, he cared about life on earth, and he lived fully. He taught us that the kingdom of God is in your midst, right here. Our lives on earth are important. But Jesus knew, as Paul did, that there's another reality beyond what you can see and feel here. Our hope is not just for this world. To set our mind on things that are above means to live today by another reality. We can stand up to sin and evil. We can turn the other cheek. We can love our enemies. For we know that whatever happens, whether we live or we die, we belong to God, and God's way will triumph in the end. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. A tragic fire is not the last word. The death of a beloved child or sister or brother or spouse is not the last word. A diagnosis of cancer is not the last word. Intimidation and bullying are not the last word. Betrayal and failure are not the last word. For Christ is alive. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Today we gather at the table of our Lord. On this day of resurrection, we celebrate that Jesus is alive and present with us in the bread and the cup, in our hearts, and among us. We gather with people who are here with us today, sitting in the next pew, whether we know them or not. They are part of our family in Christ. We gather with people throughout the world who grieve, with those who suffer, all people of faith beloved by God. And we gather with people who have passed from this life and are feasting with us in heaven. God's kingdom is not bound by space and time, but it is here among us. May our eyes be opened. The Lord is risen.
Yes.
Alleluia and amen.